Hello everyone, welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today we're going to talk about dojo etiquette and why it's so important to the dojo culture and the overall environment to the entire experience.
Yeah, I think these dojo etiquettes are sometimes overlooked often, you know, because...
Definitely overlooked.
In a dojo, a lot of times people just come in to work out and they don't really care about... They might overlook other things, but I think this really sets... dojo apart from, you know, just being successful.
Yeah, from the good ones to the great ones, right? Yeah. And then it's not just about taking your shoes off and bowing and hygiene, right? That just almost goes without saying,
right?
Right, but it goes far beyond that,
right?
Far beyond that. So we kind of wanted to go into that today.
That's right. So let's start with we're gonna kind of go divide the etiquettes from groups to groups and whatnot. So let's start with the beginners and maybe the color belts, like mid-level judokas. So
yeah, so you know, there's different ways to interact from, you know, belt, lower belts going to high belts going to lower belts, right? Because it's a natural hierarchy in the dojo place, right? Everyone is denoted. He has this color belt. That person has that color belt, and it's very clear,
right?
So the interactions going in one direction or the other direction, it sort of changes little by little, and I think it's very interesting. It's very nuanced. If you're a white belt, you kind of don't understand the culture, right? Something as simple as, like, a lot of BJJ schools, lower belts are not allowed to ask higher belts to do rounds, to do rolls, to do rondori, right? So for what white belt to go up to a blue belt, like, hey, do you want to go roll? Like, that's like kind of like something that's frowned upon. And I've heard this in a lot of other schools, not all BJJ schools, but I've heard this in many jiu-jitsu schools.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of interesting, right? And I think judo and every dojo kind of has their own set of social norms, I guess, the dojo norms. So first and foremost, if you're a beginner walking into the dojo, right, asking is really, really important.
Right. So the first person you'll probably encounter or meet as a white belt at a dojo is your sensei, your teacher. So
potentially, right? Maybe the person has a, there's a front desk person.
Oh, right.
And and the first question that they ask is, you know, the first words that come out of a beginner's mouth generally does indicate like what kind that person's going to be in the dojo place, right? If a person comes and is like, hey man, I'm here for a free class, right? Where's my free gi? And they come in and they don't ask anything about the sort of etiquette. Then it's like, okay, this guy's going to be a pain in the butt. You know what I mean? Or, you know, on the contrary, you get someone coming in and say, hey, is it okay if I leave my shoes here? Should I bow onto the mat? Right? All of a sudden, okay, this person's concerned about how they should be in this environment, right?
It's more about, it's just like, when you come in as a white belt, you don't, you have to assume that you don't know anything about the culture and then this kind of environment. So it's better to ask.
Better to ask. But you know, go ahead.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's not about, like you said, coming in and try to get much out of it. It's about, this is about joining a community. So it's about giving to the community as much as you take out of it.
And this is a little bit, you know, philosophical, but like if you're talking about knowledge and what you know and what you don't know, and one of my favorite quotes of all time is you just don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Right. And there's two types of people. People that love what they know and love what they don't know. Right. So the person comes in and starts saying, hey, you know, I did Kung Fu and this and that, and I have this experience, that experience. And they just start talking about what they already know as opposed to using that time to gather information.
Right.
You already know the type of person that they're going to be. Right.
And then, they're not really there to learn judo. Almost like they're trying to like.
They are there to learn judo, but right, they're just by nature like, look what I know, you know. Right. So that's a little bit right because every dojo has a different culture.
So that's how you, for when you first walk in, you know what, you want to be polite and then kind of ask questions and whatnot. So when you actually get into the practice, get your gi, get to the practice and then interact with other higher belts, what are some of the things that you need to be aware of? you think?
Well, I think being coachable is very, very important, and likability and coachability is huge. You don't want to be the person coming in as a beginner that no one wants to teach.
Right.
Teachability is really important. It's like, hey, you know, you go like this and you go like that for this technique, and they're like, oh, I know. It's like, oh, you got to pull a little bit more. I know. It's like that I know guy. No one likes that guy.
Right.
Guy or girl, right? No one likes that person.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't want to be the I know. It's like, okay. You know, let me try it like this. Right. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the other direction of a higher belt talking to a lower belt later on. Right. But you also don't want to be the person giving like nonstop feedback and giving a dissertation on everything. Right. It's like you want the person to, you give one feedback, the person drills. Right. And it's kind of a back and forth, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it goes both ways. It's bi-directional. But on the receiving side of it as a beginner, you want to be coachable. Right. You want people to want to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because that's what you're there for, to learn.
Yeah,
right? No one cares about your background and, you know, this or that.
Yeah, going a little bit into detail about that, you know how like nowadays, because of the proliferation of like YouTube video instructions and whatnot, a lot of white belts will come in and then have some ideas about certain techniques, and then
they do.
Sometimes, you know, because techniques, every judoka has a different variation of that suits himself or herself. So sometimes the advice higher belts give white belt or lower belts might be in almost like contradiction with what the lower belt and white belt see on YouTube. So what do you think white belts and lower belts should do in that kind of situation?
I always think that, you know, everything you learn, you should take with a grain of salt, right? Because all the rules that you learn in the beginning, like you break some of those rules later on.
Mm.
And when you do break some of these rules, for instance, like you never cross your feet. You hear this all the time.
Right.
And yeah, you're not really supposed to cross your feet when you walk side to side. Mm. But whenever you get better, right, there's times when you can cross your feet, when you're in dominant position, when you're faking a turn throw.
Right.
Like you cross your legs all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you learn these rules later on. The more you gain in experience and knowledge, you can break these things with purpose, right? So when you're watching YouTube videos and you hear something like this, or never step over on a wizard, or all these different isms, like you don't have the ability to sift through, right? Why, when, how, and all of a sudden, if you never cross your legs ever, right? If you never step over on a wizard ever, right? Like you're going to limit yourself.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of noise out there in like that YouTube world of like instructionals. And, you know, sometimes like you could gain so much from watching it, but you have to actually come in and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But what I will say is you don't want to be the person that says, hey, I saw this YouTube video. They explained it like this and that person's a world champion. Who are you? You know, that kind of a thing.
I know. Yeah.
Right. Never fares well. So I would definitely suggest not to do that. Right. And
I mean, like you say, it's a lot of data points and styles and whatnot. So you kind of have to, everything is, I guess, in a way, right in a specific context. You always talk about the context and whatnot.
Yeah, man. You know, they say like a broken clock is right twice a day.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about an analog clock.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess digital clocks.
Digital clocks, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, how do you know what move works? What move should be a staple? What move should be taken out? Right. Even if a technique works, it doesn't fit into your system. You know, you're not a Georgian grip guy, but you do one technique from the Georgian grip.
Yeah.
Like what's that? What use is that going to do for you?
Right.
Right. So it's something of that nature, you know, and talking to your peers is very important, but you want to be as concise as possible during drill time, because drill time is for drilling. Nagakomi time is for Nagakomi. Nawaza time and doing roll time is for rolls. Right.
Right.
So you want to be able to be, you know, talking about sort of some of these ideas and asking about some of these ideas in the most concise way.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes both ways. Concise is the key, because doing is the most important thing.
Right.
If you want to have like a talk about it, chat about it, you're sort of an interpersonal learner, right? Where you use language in that way to like really try to expand your knowledge base, then do it after class or before class. Make note of it, right?
Mm.
This person's doing Tai in a certain way, or doing a De La Hiva in a certain way. It's like, make note of it, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to ask you about that later. Cool, right? Because, you know, you don't want to get in a long, drawn-out conversation
right
during that time. Right?
So do you, so if, yeah, like during the drilling time, like if a lower belt has a question about something, what do you think? You think you should just save, they should just save it till the end of the class? Or you think you can kind of ask a question here and there. What do you think you is know the right
who
balance?
You got to know the right person to ask, obviously.
Right.
Right. So there's a big skill gap between like a white belt and a green belt and a green belt to a black belt and a black belt to the person leading the class, right? Because there's all levels of black belts.
Right.
If you're a white belt, yellow belt, and then, you know, if you're asking a basic question about a basic technique, you don't need to go to the top person in the room to ask that question, right? And I understand, you know, you want to get the answer from the best person in the room, but 90% of the time, they're going to kind of give you a generic answer if you're asking about the basics. So ask someone maybe two levels above you, right? And be very concise about it. If it's a time where people are chatting and you notice like, oh man, everyone's chatting. It's kind of a, you know, back and forth, easy drill kind of a time, or even an open mat kind of a time, then sure, ask away, right? But know who you're going to ask too. You know the people in the room that are going to give you a dissertation. They're going to keep you and talk to you about the history of one move for 20 things and how they did it in a tournament and how they escaped it and how they're the best thing on this planet. Now, all of a sudden, you're in this long, drawn-out conversation with this person, and now it's like you get no reps in, right? You have to get your reps in. So, yeah, that's that would be my tip for that.
And that also, you know, you have to ask it in the right way, right? Like, I guess when you ask for, say you're practicing osotogari, you don't want to say like, oh, how can I make my osotogari better? That's so like such a big topic. So
yeah, it's a big one. It's a big, you know, it's very general. Yeah. And a lot of the times it's not what you're doing too, right? It's what your uke is doing. It's what your uke is letting you do.
Right.
And the thing that I get a lot of the times is like, this doesn't feel normal. This doesn't feel natural. It's like, of course this doesn't feel natural and normal. You've never done it before.
Right.
Think about trying to write, you know, article or something, right? Like draw something with your non-dominant hand. That's going to be very unnatural because you're not used to this moment.
Right.
So kind of tough to do that. And then, you know, something that I've heard before, like a white belt, like a very emotionally intelligent white belt, say to a higher belt is like, hey man, if something seems very off that I'm not doing right, that's compromising your safety or something, like, let me know and I'll try to fix it.
I
heard that one time and I'm like, oh my God, this guy is like emotionally intelligent. He's smart. I want to teach him.
Right.
It's like, I want to talk to him. I want him to be in the room, you know, as opposed to the guy that's like giving unsolicited advice. And it's like, oh, you're doing it wrong. And every time you do it, it's like your pinky's not doing the right thing. Like, get that guy out of the room. I don't want him there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's toxic. No one wants to work with that person. And then you get stuck with him during drills and you're like, oh my God, I got to hear how he hit this move at the Liberty Bell tournament 4 years ago. And I've heard it before. And he's going to tell me my move is garbage.
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy.
Right.
So, you know, you have to be intelligently selective as well.
Yeah. I think that's a
good. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was just saying that that's a good way to ask. Like, it's just, hey, if you find something that doesn't feel quite right, just let me know. Yeah, it's because then I think you the other side can like focus on certain specific things, and then
and you know, because the time that you're speaking to the person is so limited, right? Because warm ups, you're not really talking, right? You're just going through the movements of like push up stretches, this, that, this. Break falls, okay, whatever, right? Forward rolls, back rolls, whatever. Okay, since they teach the technique, time for drills or time for techniques, it's limited. You know, and you know, at my dojo, it's like when we do a certain teaching thing, it's between 2 and 3 minutes no matter what. I'll give you maybe 3 minutes or 4 minutes to drill it. We bring it back, go, bring it back. There's not too much downtime to be sitting there chatting away.
Right?
So you almost like have to be concise. So the time that you do speak to your opponent is very limited, and I try to limit it, right? You don't want to get into this long, drawn-out thing.
Because, and I think another thing is that you can't really describe all the little nuances with your words. It's better to...
It's very difficult. You have to do it, right? It's a physical thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's better to do it, just get the big ideas and then do it and figure out yourself rather than trying to ask the minute details. Right.
Yeah. And communication style is really important too when you're talking about this stuff. Because when you're constantly saying, like, am I doing it right? Like, it doesn't feel right. You know, and immediately, like I said, probably 5 to 10 words, but you're already trying to communicate to the other person, like, man, I really feel like I'm not good at this. Like, I'm super insecure. Right. So, like, there is a lot of nonverbal sort of communication things that happen during times like this. Right. And then trying to be able to communicate to the other person, like when the person's slamming into you with osotogari, right? It's like, how do you tell that person, like, dude, you're freaking hurting me right now. Like, what is the point of that? Right? And then to be able to do that in a way, right? That's like completely without even judo or dojo, period. That's just straight up communication skills.
Right.
You know, some people have that, right? Some people are good at that. And then it's the job of the instructor to be able to not police it, right? But
foster that environment. Shape. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. And then if I see something, and, you know, even me, when I would try not to call that one person out, if I see something that I don't like, I will say something, but I'll address the entire class. Mm-hmm. And then I'll try to sort of make eye contact with a person. Right.
Yeah. You've done that to me.
You know? Yeah. Peter.
No, yeah, that's a, yeah. We'll talk about them more later too. You know, how to foster the environment, the safe environment for everyone.
Yeah.
So now we talked about drilling and the etiquette there. Let's kind of move on to the fun part, the randori. So what kind of etiquettes do you think the beginners should keep in mind during randori? Like you kind of mentioned this, in some schools they don't even allow beginners to ask for rounds.
So I've heard this, you know, like lower belts shouldn't ask higher belts, and higher belts can get, you know, first dibs and then choose. Mm-hmm. I've heard that before, but it really depends on the school, right?
Right.
You just don't know any better. Mm. So if you have a little bit of experience, you know, you can sort of ask the person in there, right? Like, hey, how should I go upon getting rounds? And some schools, you know, only allow the sensei, the teacher in the room, to allocate, like, hey, you go with this person, you go with that person, right? There's no way to really know. So just kind of like sit back, take in the vibe, you know, and if you have a question, ask, but be very concise and direct. Right.
Right.
And that's always sort of best practices in terms of asking. And I will say during randori, though, is like when you're actually doing randori, do not talk.
Right.
Right. Stop talking during randori, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the only time you should speak up and the people should be chattering during randori, me versus you, you versus somebody else, right, is something that regards safety.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Watch your back over there. Or, oh, shoot, somebody's about to land on you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's go back inbounds. You know, don't do taniatoshi, please.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you kick me in the shin so hard? You know, that's the only time you should be speaking in randori.
Right. No, like, oh, that was a good throw. Or like, oh, you should have done this and that. Nothing.
No, because even, you know, that stuff, it's a blurred line, right?
And yeah.
There's guys in the dojo all the time that it's like, they get slammed, and they're like, hey, man, good job with that throw. And immediately what that person's trying to say is, I gave you that throw, right? I never expected you to throw me, but you did throw me. So good job, buddy. You know, and that kind of thing, you know, gets taken the wrong way, obviously, right? Mm. Best not to say anything and be like, oh, shit, you got it. Good job, you know, and bow and then go right back at it. Because that's what you're there to do, right? If you're doing a 3-minute roll, a 5-minute roll, the time is so freaking limited. You could spend the entire 90% of the time going out of bounds, stepping in. Hey, good job, buddy. Like, hey, try this instead. Doing judo, going down, missing throw. Like, oh, that was a shido. Ha, ha, ha. You know, and like, you're not really getting much out of it. And it distracts from what you're actually trying to do. Right?
Right.
Maybe the other person's like, I'm trying to figure this technique out. They need all the focus in the world to try to figure out the timing for a specific set thing. And, you know, on the contrary of that, it's like sometimes I'm trying to work my tomonage. And I get this tunnel vision of like, tomonage, 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 and not really seeing the other things that are available to me, right? Mm. That happens to a lot of people. So it requires a lot of focus and attention to like trying to balance all these things. What is this person doing? Where are the gaps in his judo? And now this guy's like, ha ha, that Osoto was right there for you. And now it's like, you know, you're getting annoyed, you're getting frustrated, you're getting taken out of what you're trying to do.
Right. That's a good point you bring up because, yeah, sometimes people are purposefully not looking for certain techniques because they're focusing on other things. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know that when you're working out with someone.
Right.
It's like, hey, Ochi, right here. Look, this is like right here. Ochi, Ochi. It's like, I'm not going for Ochi. Yeah. I'm not looking for Ochi. Like, stop. Yeah. You know? So it's like, and when there's a hierarchy too, and the person doing that to you is a little bit higher in rank than you, all of a sudden when you talk back, it's kind of like, okay. You know, and the dojo norm is like, hey, don't talk back to your, you know, senpai or whatever it is.
Right.
But it's like, senpai was kind of being a dick there, right? So, yeah, it's very nuanced for sure.
Right.
And, you know, I, you know, have the rule of like, if it's not about safety, don't talk about it, right?
It
has to be about safety. And don't ask questions during randori like, oh, man, how did you do that tayo? No, forget it. Make note of it and ask them after practice.
Right, right.
Right? That's a question for the bar afterwards. Like, hey, you hit me with that tayo, that was sick.
Yeah.
Right? Not during the actual rondo. You get 4 minutes to do a round.
Right.
Not even talk about it for a minute.
Yeah. That's a good segue into our next topic. I think now we can move on to the black belts, how their etiquettes. Mm. And then, so we kind of started talking about how they should behave interacting with lower belts. So you mentioned unsolicited comments, you know, how
unsolicited comments. Yeah. If they want to know, they'll ask you.
Right.
And if they're kind of shy about it, you could ask them directly. Like, hey, you have any questions?
Right.
Yes, no, maybe. Spit it out, buddy. not in that way, but like, yes, no, maybe. There we go, right?
And
maybe they just want to drill. You don't know that until you ask them. You know,
right.
Being in tune communicatively with the other person is huge.
Right.
Right? And anything you say from a position of power can be misconstrued in the wrong way.
Right.
There's an amplifying effect when you're wearing a black belt and then the other person's a lower belt because of the natural hierarchy I was talking about.
Yeah.
So something as simple as like, oh man, rolling your eyes when the guy goes for a drop Sanagi.
Right.
Right? That may not mean much, green belt to green belt, but black belt to white belt?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, hey man, I'm trying my best. I've never done this before. Right? It took all the guts for me to come to this dojo, try to better myself, and now this guy that I really look up to, Peter Yu, rolled his eyes when I went for a drop Sanagi.
I never do that, but yeah.
No, I don't.
So you're kind of suggesting that I my default mode is actually just keep quiet whenever, like during practice, I don't give any comments really unless asked to.
Yeah.
So you think that's like the good strategy to go with?
Etiquette? I don't know. You mean like you could be the positive reinforcement type of person, right? Mm-hmm. And you always want to be a value add to the room.
Right. Right.
Because that's what you want for the person next to you and the next to you and the next to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you can't really kind of go against your personality type if you're not a chatty person.
Right.
You know, you don't need to be forcefully chatty with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But know that when you are a higher belt, you're naturally a leader in the room.
Right.
So the way you speak to people really matter.
Right.
It absolutely matter. And I talk about microaggressions, and as soon as people say microaggressions, people are like, oh my God, here we go. Like, what is this? You know, democratic, socialist, progressive, you know, whatever. You know, you could go down that route. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you need to have tough skin and all this stuff. But it matters when you're wearing a black belt and the other person is not. It really, really, really does. And simple comments like, hey, man, don't hurt me, okay, buddy? Like, that is so freaking condescending.
Right.
Right? Get that guy out of the room.
Right.
I'm serious. It's like black belt. I'm a black belt. I add value to the room. No, you don't. If you're being condescending and talking to people in a way where it makes them feel bad, right? And it's amplified by the fact that you are in a position of power,
right?
You don't belong in that room.
Right.
Because you're a dick.
Yeah.
Right?
It's really not about like, oh my God, like, you know, that guy was so aggressive and punched me in the eye or anything. It's just like those little comments that really get amplified, and you know, they really discourage people from coming back even and trying harder.
It does, man. Yeah. And likability is really important, you know, because the nature of the sport, right? Nature of the judo, it's grappling. It's not like, all right, you know, I make a mistake, the person dominates me in this game of tennis and I lost 40-0 or whatever it is.
Right.
You know? Or oh, he beat me in basketball. It's like, oh, he beat me. He physically threw me on the floor, choked me, and then repeatedly pounded me. Mm. Right. So like something like that, plus some of these comments that can be made and misconstrued in a way, can really, you know, eat away at someone's soul. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. And
it's like that. Yeah. The those comments, you know, it's how about this one? I've only been doing judo for 6 months. Or like, oh, I haven't done judo in 2 years. And I already, you know, and I threw you with Tayo. Ha ha ha. Like, I must be a genius at this stuff. I must be really talented because you've been training 4 days a week. I only come once a week. Ha ha ha. Like, get out of the room. Get that guy out of here. I don't want him here.
Right. Right. That's really unnecessary. Right. Yeah,
it's so unnecessary. Yeah. And then I will say, like, hey, you know, you've heard me say it at the end of the class, like, please watch the way you speak to each other, because it could be amplified, it can be toxic, right? And it's that one comment, and then the next time the other guy makes another comment, and before you know it, it's like, this guy, I don't like that guy. And then you're already doing a sport where, you know, you're trying to fight out of mount, and you have the hand in the face or something like that, and then the elbow gets grinded on the side of your chin, and now all of a sudden you have those interactions. that thing that's going on now with a little bit of the physical thing, and you throw in the hierarchy of the belt system, right? Then you got a disaster on your hands. Right. Now, all of a sudden, it's an unsafe room because these two guys are trying to hurt each other.
That's another good point, because these microaggressions are not physical in the beginning, but they could escalate very easily into something physical.
Yeah, it manifests itself into physical things, right?
Yeah.
And that you really, really don't want that, and you really want to avoid it. It's toxic. It's like a cancer, you know? So, you know, you've heard me talk about this all the time.
Right, yeah.
Right? How can you grapple with 40 people in the room with no one trying to hurt each other? Like, how does that even happen?
Right.
It's because of things like this. And, you know, I've asked people to leave the dojo many times. My father is notorious for that. You, get out. You know, he probably could have done it with a little bit more, you know.
Tact.
Niceness. Yeah. Probably tact. And, you know, there's ways to approach that, right?
Mm.
But, yeah, that is very important.
If you're... Yeah, as an instructor, head instructor, if you show that you have almost zero tolerance for those that type of behavior, it kind of it sends in the opposite way a good signal to other people that you value that their safety, their mental health, and whatever have you, and that really helps with the whole atmosphere.
Yeah. And you know, we're not perfect, right? Yeah. And there's margin of error, and everyone should get, you know, one strike, two strike, whatever. And I'm guilty of it too sometimes.
Right.
Right?
I'm guilty of it. About the aggressive comments?
No, I never do that. But like if I put down someone inadvertently.
Oh.
Because I'm very... I can't really show. I always show what I'm thinking and feeling, right? And so I can't really hide it. So sometimes someone does something, you know, egregious or something like that. It was like an abomination. Someone goes for a crazy flying armbar, and it's just dangerous. Bad, and he like hurt himself, and it's like, oh my God, Jesus, you know? And it's like I can't resist that kind of reaction because it's so. I just can't like.
Right. It's a big thing.
Because
I'm
thinking it. I'm feeling it. It's gonna show like in my physical language.
Right.
Berate him and say like, oh, that was garbage. I would never do that. But like, just like my body reaction, you know, body language gives it away. So we're all responsible. You know, we're all sometimes guilty of this.
We have to stay vigilant, like everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while we're on the topic of black belts, you don't want to be the armchair quarterback from the sidelines. Right. And it's the same thing. It's like, go for Tayo. And, you know, what you're actually doing is like posturing and signaling to the world like, hey, I know something that you guys don't know. Listen to me. Like, I'm so insightful when it comes to this movement. Like, listen to me. Like, you know, we don't need that either.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're adding to the noise, you know?
And that's really, even when I'm not the recipient of those comments, say I'm like going with another beginner and then someone else is on the sideline giving comments to that lower belt, like it's like it makes me uncomfortable too. Like I know that the lower belt is trying his or her best, because I am going with her or him or her right now, but it's, I don't know. It just doesn't even sit well with me, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, it's different from the head coach in the room, right? But it's the equivalent of like when I go coaching at a tournament, if a kid is fighting and if I'm sitting in the coach's chair, there should be one voice that's giving technical advice.
Right.
Everyone else who's screaming and putting their voice out there should be just reinforcement, positive energy, go for it, you're doing great, just like words of encouragement, right? Because if I'm saying, put your left hand on first, and this person's like, let that, cut that hand, and another person's saying, go for drop Sanagi, right? And I'm kind of like, he doesn't even do drop Sanagi. You know, like, stop confusing him. Like, should I go for drop Sanagi? Should I not? Like, you know?
Right.
Right, you want to kind of avoid that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... And sometimes, like, I'm guilty of this too. Like, Luca's going with George, and I'm coaching Luca on the side. And, you know, sometimes I'm coaching George. And, you know, sometimes, like, I can't help myself too. But that's my job, right? It's my job to coach and teach and make them better.
You've made, like, prior arrangement with them. Like, they wanted you to comment on their...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me what I'm doing wrong. And a lot of the times, you know, you can't really influence a person what they're doing during their rondori anyway, right? If they're making a mistake constantly or an error, right, it's not going to change on the fly because I said something.
Right,
you know? You use your leg and step to your left by 2 inches because it's a little too far. It's like they're not going to listen to that and do it, right? Yeah. That kind of stuff gets done during drills, right?
Right.
Fixing during drills. Did you step in too far close or too far out? Like, we need to fix this. We got to drill this, okay? Or you're attacking from when you're losing in position. If you go for Osoto when the person's dominant, they're going to counter you, right? It's the easiest technique to counter if you're in losing position. Don't do it, right?
I wonder.
What about say? Don't go for Osoto. It's like if you have like 9 other guys, like, go for Uchi instead. Fake Osoto and go for Sasai. It's like, guys, stop.
You have to be mindful that the person has his or her own agenda to practice. Like, you know, we gotta be mindful of that.
Speaking of coaching, it's like coaching the other person while you're doing Rondori with them.
Oh man. Yeah.
Right, like, dude, you're doing good. Dude, go for Soto, go for it. Ah, good job.
I think that's
like
even immediately, worse. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
even worse, man. Yeah. It's like I remember being the recipient of that as a kid, and it's like, it's like, man, shut up.
Yeah,
you know, it's like you're just afraid that I'm gonna slam you.
Yeah,
that's the thing, right? If you're going with someone that you shouldn't lose to, and they're about to throw you in front of everybody. That's the best defense mechanism almost, right? To just like pretend to coach them.
I know. And it's like,
right? I'm better than you, you know.
And then a little pat on the back.
Yep. You got me, buddy. I gave it to you, though. It's because of my coaching that you're getting better.
It completely just outstrips all the efforts the other person has put in. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just be honest with yourself and be honest in the dojo. Be authentic, right? You got slammed because the guy's getting better.
Yeah.
That's okay. Right? I mean, I get it too, though. Right? I don't want to get thrown when I'm wearing my red and white belt, you know?
That's, yeah, I mean, it's so true. And now I think about it, I don't do it to other people, these unsolicited comments, but I do it to my brother.
Oh, big time. You're so bad with David.
I know. Maybe I shouldn't do that. I thought like, he would like that.
You know what it is with you and David? You guys have a special relationship. Obviously, you guys are brothers, right?
Yeah.
Like, David's like trying and working out, and all you hear is just you just screaming at him in Korean, and everyone's looking at each other like, Jesus Christ.
I know. Maybe I should stop doing that now. I mean, we're like, we're not in the same city anymore, but yeah, it's. But I don't do it when I go with him. I only do it on the side. But
you've done it with him too.
Okay, you keep knowing.
And then one time I saw you coaching him as you're doing Rondori with him, and then you went for Kochi and you rolled his ankle.
Oh yeah, I know.
I was like watching. I was like, man, if I was David, I'd freaking quit.
Yeah.
Good for him for sticking it out, man.
I know he's
a great guy.
I mean, it's coming. I think, I mean, that's the thing. A lot of some people might think that, I mean, myself too, you know, I thought I was doing it out of love, you know, right? Like I wanted to.
You are doing it out of love. Yeah, you are doing it out of love, you know?
But, you know, the intention sometimes doesn't fully justify the outcome. So yeah, you got to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing wrong with that. You know, you have a special place at the dojo too. So like you get away with a lot more. Right? But when people see that and there's a French guy in the room and there's another French guy going with somebody else, then you get the French guy coaching in French. And then sometimes that happens with the Russian dudes in the room.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you sort of have this division of like the Russian guys are sticking together. And, you know, we joke around about like Korean top team because we had like 6 Koreans in the room at once. Right. We joke about that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, that stuff is real.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, now, you know, the kid that's not Korean is like, you know, like, I'm not Korean. They're all coaching each other in Korean. I really don't want to go with a Korean guy in the dojo because the entire Korean top team is going to be, you know, yelling at him to root against me. And so that it does really sort of cascade into a whole, right?
Yeah.
And with you, it's a little bit different, but with a lot of other people. And I that's probably an etiquette violation on my part. I play favorites sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I know this.
I say this, though, you know, you do sometimes. Like, I mean, we're like best friends, so you always like give me a more pass than other people. Yeah. But you, I have to say, you did, you have pulled me aside and say like, oh, Peter, you gotta go, yeah, you gotta go easy on this.
One of the worst violators.
I know, I was, yeah. It's just because that's the other thing. It's not about the etiquette during rando. It's not just about those unsolicited comments. It's about the intensity you put in. And
here's a Peter violation. When we have a guest, Peter tries to hurt him.
I know. I don't try to. I always try to throw the person. But
it's just the worst because it's like, all right, Peter, you're not like a massive dude, right?
No. Yeah.
So your stats are like mid to lightweight. You know, you fought 66 at the last nationals that you took seventh in or whatever. It was 66, right?
66, seventh? Yeah.
All right, so that's 150 pounds-ish.
Yeah.
Right, so you're a 150-pound guy, friendly, you know, wear your glasses right, and then a big, strong dude comes in. The last person he wants to take a beating from is you, right? And not only does Peter give him a beating, he hurts him.
Oh, not intentionally, but that's the thing. It's not about the intention sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
I heard this saying where, you know, we judge ourselves by intention, but we judge others by their actions. So it really spoke to me. And because I tend to, you know, I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to think that I've done people wrong. So, but you got to be mindful. Yeah. And then I learned a lot from that, those talks. I mean, it wasn't, I props to you, you know, bringing that up, you know, but I think that's what it takes for the head instructor to foster this kind of environment. You know, you got to talk to people about those uncomfortable.
So it's a double-edged sword,
right?
When a guest comes in and then he starts immediately trying to thrash your beginners or intermediate guys, you have to kind of get on it right away.
Right.
And if they're already coming in with a brown or a black belt, they're pretty good, right? Most of the time. Mm-hmm. So then you want to give them, you know, someone who's skill level is pretty high, but someone that's not going to hurt them, because then if they get slammed and, you know, beaten around, they're not going to come back, right? And we want them to come back. If they're a nice value add to the room and they're good people, we want them there, 100%, right? So it's kind of a tricky thing. And you know what I would say, throw them once really hard in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And then just coast the rest of it around.
Yeah. I think that's a good strategy. You know, just
that's a good strategy, because then it's like next one, you know, you could, it's like, okay, you know, he caught me once.
Yeah.
Right? Granted that there is that skill gap. And sometimes it's like a free-for-all where it's like, oh, man, this guy came in. Right? We've had guys like that coming in. You know? I got super off the plane from Georgia. Now I came from the airport straight. I was like, where are you staying? He's like, I don't know, but I'm here for judo.
Like, and with the crazy cauliflower ears and whatnot.
Yeah. I had this guy like, look, this is me at the championships in my country. Yeah. And then show me the thing. And he has like the medal and he's like big and strong. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. You know?
That's straight to you, man. I'm no enforcer for me then.
No. There's a system for guys like that. Yeah. There's a system. First, you look him up on Judo Inside. Let's see what his record
is.
Right. And then you immediately know sort of like where they are on that world ranking scale.
Right.
And I could always take solace in the fact that if you're like a top 10 guy in the world, you're not, you know, flying around going to dojos, local dojos, right? They're like on the circuit competing now.
Right.
So, yeah, and then, you know, you look at the weight class, it's like, oh, I see 73 kilos, you know, 160 pounds division, but he looks pretty heavy right now. He's probably not that good shape, or he hasn't really been training, right? He has wins against this guy, losses there. Okay. Who should I put him with? Peter, get in there.
Right? I try to tire him out, and then you can step in later, you know?
Not even so tire him out. I'm just watching, like, okay, right? Righty, lefty? Like, okay, he's...
Oh, righty, analyzing. Righty.
What moves does he have to the left? Okay, how's his gripping? How's his niwaza? It's like, ooh, his niwaza's not that good. All right, guys, we're going to do seven rounds of niwaza.
Nice, yeah.
And then it's like, all right, who in the room is the best at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? All right, that guy's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. He's a green belt in Judo, but we'll get him to go with him. We'll squeeze him.
Right.
And then we'll demoralize him first with the choking and the armbar. Right? They won't get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then we'll do standing, and then we'll get a heavyweight to come in.
Right.
He's a little bit tired. And then sometimes, you know, they're like, Sensei, I went to go with you.
Yeah. Right?
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
They call me out. Right, that's an etiquette no-no to call me out.
Right.
Old man standing on the side that hasn't even warmed up yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That's funny.
But by then, I have enough. I have enough.
You have all the information. Yeah.
And I could survive with anybody for 3 minutes.
That's right. So we talked about, you know, the black belts, the interaction with lower belts, and then even like microaggressions, forming cliques, you know, like that. So you don't want, you black belts have a lot of responsibility to help foster this safe environment. So now that we started talking about visitors, you know, we pointed one thing out, like asking the head instructor to go with you, whatever. So what do you think visitors to a dojo should be mindful of when they come in, etiquette-wise?
You know, I always kind of find it a little rude when the visitor calls me out in front of everyone, right? Sensei, you want to go? Or, you know, not in that way, but like, sensei, oh, Sondori. And it's like, man, you saw me not warming up this whole time. Like, I'm freaking cold. You know, you're like 8 rounds deep or whatever. You're warm. You're ready to go. You know, like, that's kind of rude.
Right.
You know? But most 9 times out of 10, I will go. I'll do it. Right? But like, things like that, you know, calling out the head instructor, calling people out. Right? All that stuff. And, you know, being polite is important, because if you're coming in there trying to, you know, beat everybody, you already sort of there kind of for selfish intentions, right? As opposed to like the visitor that comes in, you know, and it's like, I want to find a new home to train and get better, right? How do I fit in here? What is the culture like? Like, it's a different kind of a mindset.
Right.
You know, so you recently visited a dojo out there in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, right? I did. Yeah, Oakland University.
I hope you were polite.
I was. I didn't, you know, I didn't make any unsolicited comments. I was very respectful.
Peter walks in, he's like, I'm here, guys.
I won't, you know, it was a great club. I had a lot of fun. You know, I'm hoping to go more often. Great group of people. And I always, my default mode as a visitor is I just keep quiet. I don't really, I'm usually a very chatty guy, you know.
Yeah.
But when I visit a dojo, I don't really speak. Unless I'm spoken to, because I don't know. I have to see what they're like, you know. And
you do. You know, we get a lot of visitors from overseas a lot of the times too, like transient. Like, I'm here for vacation. I brought my gi, right? I teach judo in France. I brought my gi. You know, I'm here on vacation with my girlfriend for 2 weeks. Like, just want to get a workout in.
Right.
Can I borrow a gi? Right. Like, there's guys like that all the time. You know, obviously right now it's a little bit different because of the pandemic. We're not really allowing that.
Right.
But during, you know, regular times, that we got guys all over the world all the time. Every week we have like two or three different people from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, here's another one, right? Going in and always asking what the rates are and the fees are. Don't expect free judo, right?
Right, right.
Especially like in a city like New York, you know, when we have, the mat is already full.
Right.
Like, there's paying members, right? To come in and expect, like, I don't pay for judo. It's like, okay, that's too bad because everyone else is here paying. If you're coming in here and doing 10 rounds, that's 10 rounds that my students aren't going to get. That's not fair to my guys, you know? And, you know, the mat fee of $20, $30, whatever, that's not going to make or break anybody. Seriously, right? If that's going to make or break you, then, you know, you have other issues going on.
Right.
It's just like the principle of the fact that, hey, I'm here. I want to contribute. Right? It's like, oh, I didn't want to pay for judo in my country because I'm about. Okay. Did you not pay $6 for a Starbucks that you're holding in your hand right there? Did you not go to SoulCycle this morning and pay $47 for a spin class? But you can't pay $20 for judo for a mat fee just to support our business? Like, you know what? Get the hell out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's like the etiquette. Went to Jason Morris's judo club back in the day, and I was like, Jason, I'm here. What are your rates? And he was like, don't worry about it. Like, no, seriously, I want to pay whatever the month is. I'm only here for a week, but I want to pay the full month just like a thing to show, right? I just want to pay it. And then he was like, don't worry about it. But then I gave it to Terry or something, like the lady who was running it, his wife, right? Terry Takamura. And I was like, yeah, here it is, you know? And I remember that, right? And I was like, that's just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Right? I went to Jimmy Pedro's dojo, you know, and stayed there for a year. I paid monthly fees. I did. I was like, what is it? I'm paying it. I gave it to him in one shot. I gave him 6 months in one shot, right? Because I don't want to, you know, it's awkward as it is, right?
To
to discuss payment, discuss right. money. And a lot of the times there is no admin person at the front desk. If it's a small dojo, it's you and the sensei and their lifestyle depends on it. Right. Just do the right thing. $20 if it's going to make or break you. You know, what do you want? Like a red carpet invitation of like, oh man, thank you so much for blessing our dojo with your presence. Like you're a black belt. I've never seen a black belt before. Like it's free. Like, you know what? We'll pay you money to be here. Mm. It's like, get out of here with that. You know? Yeah. And that's like a dojo etiquette thing that, you know, I live this, right? I've always, you know. Watch somebody comment below like Shintaro came to my dojo and never paid.
all the skeletons come out. Nah, I think that's good because it's you like you say it's awkward as it is, and some teachers, you know, they think they need to be generous to the guest. I mean that's very nice of them, but you know you have to be mindful that you know it's work for them, and then they need to be compensated.
Culturally. Different places have judo that's embedded, government subsidized, or right. Oh, black belts don't pay. Different places have different rules, right?
Right.
You go to Manhattan, you're paying Manhattan rent.
Mm-hmm.
Different story, right? Oh, sensei teaches judo at YMCA. He works a 9-to-5 as a whatever it is, and now he comes in and teaches judo from 6 to 7. He loves it. It's his passion. He doesn't care about money at all, right? He doesn't even. The dojo's bleeding, but it doesn't really matter. Right? We're just happy that you're here. Come train with us. That's fine, right?
Mm.
But still ask. It's like, hey, what's the mat fee? Can I contribute?
Mm. Right.
Right? You're paying $7 for a latte, you know?
You can pay the mat fee. Yeah.
If you can't pay the mat fee, you know, maybe you should be, you know, nah, I shouldn't say something. It's like, you know, $20-$30 should not make or break you, you know?
Right.
And just asking is like, and a lot of the times, man, you know me, right?
Yeah.
I really ever take, guy comes in, very nice. Now watch, everyone going to do this. Right? It's like, person comes in and they're a guest, right? Hey, what's going on? What's your mat fee? You know, what is it like? Ah, forget it. Just go out there. Just sign this waiver though.
Yeah.
Okay. Just in case you break a nail.
Yeah.
You know, right? Go out there, go do your thing. And sensei, no, I really want to. It's like, nah, I really don't worry about it, man.
Yeah.
Right? And I do it all the time. It's like, I would say like good 75% of the time, kind of like, don't worry about it. Especially if they're only here for vacation, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is, like I'm okay with it.
And also especially if they're polite and then their value add to the...
Their value add, you know, it's like, right? You've had tons of people coming through that you've gained a lot from.
Yeah, it's always cool.
Styles of judo.
Yeah.
Right. I want them there. I like them. Mm-hmm. You know, I like guests, right? 9 times out of 10.
Right.
If they're polite.
Yeah.
Right. So, and you want to be that person that's going to be every time I'm in New York, you know, Shintaro welcomes me with open arms. Right. Why? Because they're polite. They're kind. They're nice. They're value add. They're not doing armchair quarterback stuff. They don't microaggressively say condescending comments. They always offer to pay. That's what you want. Offering to pay. It's like when you go on a first date. Right.
It's the etiquette.
When your counterpart offers to pay half, it's like, oh, shoot. It's like, okay, I was going to pay for the whole thing anyway. Like, I'm going to pay for it. Don't worry about it. You know, not like male, woman, whatever it is, but just the fact that you're offering is just kind of a nice gesture,
right?
That says a lot about a person.
You can't. You shouldn't try to expect things from others in that way. Like, oh, you're like some. It's the sense of entitlement. There's also another etiquette thing.
Yes, the sense of entitlement. Yeah. It's like I'm a black belt. So what?
Yeah.
I've seen so many black belts. What do you want me to do?
Right.
Roll out the red carpet. Like, everybody, come here. Let's hear what he has to say because he's a black belt, right?
That's right, right. So, etiquette. And I think I also want to... So, we have all those judo visitors, but we also have visitors from other arts. We kind of touch upon it in the beginning, but especially, like, we've had a lot of visitors from BJJ and other, like, Krav Maga and all that. So... What kind of things do you think they should be mindful of coming into judo?
You know, so a lot of schools don't allow crazy color gis, and my dad was like that too, right? Mm. If you came into the dojo with a black gi, he'd be like, get out. What is that thing? That's an abomination, right? But it's a different time. You know, I'm a little bit more understanding about this kind of stuff. If you're wearing branding from other schools and things like this, right? A lot of the times, if there's a polite person coming in, with the proper etiquette is to say, hey, listen, I did judo at, you know, X, Y, and Z dojo. Like, I have the gi and it's embroidered into my chest. Like, I have no other gi. Like, if you want, you know, I'll buy a new gi or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, seriously, God bless you if you are that emotionally intelligent to ask that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Thank you. Yeah. It's okay. I don't mind. I don't mind. Go ahead. Just train, you know? But just the fact that they would ask and just communicate that to me, it goes a really long way.
Right, right.
Right. But if you have a blank gi versus a gi with full branding, like you're NASCAR training, you know, NASCAR, right? Like, then choose the more subtle gi, right? That's sort of the thing. Don't come in with a rainbow gi.
Yeah, that's more, you know, that's a safer bet, you know?
Yeah, it's just a safer bet. You know, maybe you don't know, right? Yeah. But that's just, you know, and then when you're coming in, it's like, oh, I trained this for that year, is that for this year? And yeah, I'm curious about what you know, where you're coming from with your training background, but you don't need to tell everybody in the dojo. You know
right, what I mean? Right.
Yeah. You want to know what I used to do a lot of the times with my favorite thing? It's like, hey, we have a guest here, so-and-so. Can you come on up? Can you tell us your name and three things about you? Do you remember that?
Yeah. I like that. It's
love that, man. Yeah. It's so simple and concise.
And right. And then, yeah, it's just like, it's a good way to break the ice, and it's not long or long-winded, anything like that.
Some people get long-winded, man. Right? So that's another etiquette thing that, you know, like if they're going to be sort of compliant in the culture or not. Say, hey, can you tell everyone your name and three things about yourself? My name is Joe. Born in 1983. My father was a judoka. My mother was a judoka. I'm a judoka. I fought in the 1993 Junior Nationals. Took a first. My favorite move is Taitoshi. It's like, bro, you already told us like 18 things about yourself.
Yeah.
That's when somebody just starts freaking doing
clapping. Oh, yeah, clapping. And then it's like, okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Good job. That's 1, 2, 3.
Maybe you got to have that system in the, you know, Academy Awards. They start playing music when they start going.
We do it. Yeah. Full blown do it. Yeah. So that's definitely, when you're a visitor, right? Introducing yourself and being concise about your introduction. Hey, I'm Peter, right? I trained in New York. I'm here for now for my PhD. Done.
Yeah.
Oh, you're an interesting guy. If they want to know more, they'll be like, what are you studying?
So that actually happened with this dojo. I kept it very short. I just moved from New York, used to train with Shintaro, because they all knew you. So I used to train with Shintaro. Thanks for having me. And they're like, oh, tell me more. And then I just like went in a little bit more. So I remember that from that. I remember that. So it's
that etiquette stuff goes a long way, man. And I hope you offered to pay the mat fee.
What? I was talking, so I have to be honest with this. I was talking to them, and then like, hey, what, you know, can I come in? And then the teacher was very gracious. Was very generous, I should say.
Gracious. Wow. Gracious. Oh, yeah.
Wrong, man. Wrong word.
Roll up the red carpet for Peter.
No. I meant to say I was gracious, that he was very being generous, that if I help teach, you know, it's gonna be, that's my mat fee, in a way. So I help teach, I show some moves. Actually, the combination, you like the Koshigari and, you know, Serenage and whatnot. So it worked out that way. But that was a mistake. I should have asked offer first.
Yeah.
But I missed the chance because he offered first.
Always offer, always offer, you know. It's $20. It's like, okay. We're not gonna break you.
No, exactly. And then it's
good. Your wife's a doctor.
Oh my god. exactly. So, you know, it's a good not assuming and not expecting things from others, and you know, always offering and whatnot. And that's good.
One more thing about the etiquette is being too clicky, right? You don't want to be too clicky.
Right.
You know, and it's when guests come, especially humans.
Yeah,
guests come, everybody, you know, and it's proper etiquette, right? I mean, you don't want to be, you know, that guy, you know, but it's tough to say with that, because human nature to be a little bit clicky.
Yeah, you want to stick to people you like. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it too, right? Yeah. It's like I'm standing at the corner of the dojo and I have three or four of my, you know, more favorite higher belt guys that I kind of talk to a little bit more than the other people. And, you know, I'm sure from an outside perspective, I'm being kind of clicky. And that's not very etiquette of me, you know, good dojo etiquette. Right. And
I think it's so that's why
I work on too.
Yeah, I mean it's, and I mean you're not bad with it or anything like that. You're always inclusive, but I think
that's because you're on the in.
Oh, so I think that's what I was gonna say. Like the people who are in have more responsibility to reach out, I guess.
That's true. That's true.
And then black belts, especially, like you said, I mean, they because of the power dynamics, they have more
having
responsibility.
An inclusive culture, is very important, right? Senseis can't get too drunk with their students. I don't do that anymore. Right? You just can't do it anymore. Yeah. Right. I mean, of course, different times, right?
Right.
Of like how old the sensei is matter.
Yeah.
Right. Who I'm tapped in. And, you know, like there was a time like me, you, we lived in the same block.
Yeah.
Right? My cousin lived on the same block. Right. Everyone was in, you know, late 20s at the time. Everyone young professional. I've known Adam for 15 years.
Right.
Adam Clapper. Right. Another one. A great one. You know, I've known him for 15 years. We went to college together. It's like, all right, you know, that crew, right? There's a.
It's
easy to grab drinks afterwards.
We're,
and, you know, I didn't want to go when the beginners were being invited.
Because then you got to draw the line.
That's a little bit inappropriate.
Yeah. You got to draw the line.
So it's like, there's been times when you were like, oh, that guy seems cool. You know, let's invite him. And I'm kind of like,
yeah.
I don't know if I want to. Freaking throw down beers with some dude that it's like, hey man, weren't you just talking about like not saying mean things and stuff, and now you're kind of ranting about something that's completely unrelated to judo, that's opposite of my political views, and you're very abrasive right now. You know, you're very aggressive the way you're talking about this idea, right? And then it escalates, and now all of a sudden we're at the dojo, and I'm like, he's got to listen to me now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right in this setting, so
yeah, that's a fine line, and. It is
a fine line.
Because you don't want to be seen like you're like trying to create clicks or anything like that. But it's...
And it's easy to do that too. Yeah. You know, we're human. You know, we're human. And yeah, I gotta watch out for that. But now, you know, I have a kid and everything. I don't really... And then now that you moved, it's a different time now too, right? I'm getting older, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to hang out with, 24, 25-year-old judo guys and go throwing down drinks and... Going to bar. I mean, not that you can even go
to bars right now,
anyway, but some things to watch out for. Another, you know, couple of little notes on dojo etiquette, right? Sensei to student is another one.
That's right? It's a lot of different power dynamics and whatnot. Yeah, so you
know, watch out for. There's definitely a power dynamic there for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool. So. Yeah, I think this was a very important topic to talk about. You know, and I think I'm glad that we had spent some time doing so. So, to conclude, do you have anything else to mention? No.
Yeah, I mean, we skipped over hygiene and bowing and no shoes and stuff. That goes without saying, right? That's like you walk in, no one's wearing shoes. You better not be wearing shoes.
Right.
I've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, look at that end of the mat. That looks really cool over there. Yeah. Guy walks on his shoes. Like, hey, man, don't you not see, like, no one's wearing their shoes on the mat?
Guy,
you know, worked out on Tuesday, kept his, you know, dirty gi in the bag, opened it up, like, dusting it off, putting it back. I was like, dude, you can't be doing that. Does he not see that everyone else has a clean gi?
Right.
That goes without saying. But sometimes, you know, you have your blind spots, right? You have your mind on the world and the things going on in your life. It's easy to oversee that. But yeah, that's those things without saying. Wash your gi, right? Be as clean as possible because it is a contact sport. And really, you know, watch the body language and the communication skills, because that stuff can really, really determine the success of a dojo.
Yeah.
Right? And the success of you.
Yeah.
If you're coachable, if you're likable, people will help you.
And you'll get better faster. Yeah.
Yep. And then this is the best indicator for this. Okay, guys, grab a partner for rounds. Oh, man, no one... Do you want to go? No? Oh, you already have someone? Do you want to work out? Oh, all right. I guess I'll just sit this one out. It's like no one, everyone, you know, whatever. Like, you're the problem then.
Right.
Right. There's something you're doing that people don't want to. You want to be a Eugene.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's go with Eugene.
You can't get around with him. You have to like schedule around him in advance, like 3 months out. It's like, hey man, April 13th, second round, are you available? And he's like, yes, I'm available. It's like, I'm booking that. It's going to my calendar. I'm sending you a Google invite.
I know.
Right?
He should be on the resi or something. Yeah, you gotta make a reservation.
He walks into the dojo. It's like he's doing uchikomi. He, by the time he's stretching, he's already approached by like 7 people.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he's like stretching, he's like, hey, do you want to drill me? And he's like, oh man, I'm going to stretch 5 more minutes, but I already have like 9 people. There's a waiting list. I'm so sorry. Right? Right? That's what you want to be like. You want to be like Yuji, you know, and because he'll never have a shortage of partners, he'll always get better.
He gets to go with different types of, you know, judo, and then it makes him better too, you know. So,
yeah. You're in full control of your destiny if you're like that, because it's like, my back hurts today. I don't feel that strong today. Let me go with smaller, lighter people. Mm-hmm, and they're going to want to go with you.
Right, right.
So give yourself that check, right? If you're the guy standing on the side like, hey, anybody? Mm. Like, you have to take a look at yourself and be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, maybe I'm not. I got to really listen to this podcast and work on my dojo etiquette.
Yeah, exactly. So, that was a good concluding remark. Thanks for listening, guys, and stay tuned for the next episode.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Have a good one.